Josh Primo will be looked at to carry more of the burden next season, but what does he have to improve on?
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Kings 5 San Antonio. And yeah, it is the off season. Locked On Spurs is on hiatus-ish. We sporadic throughout the week. But hey, we're here on a Wednesday, here to talk to you about the upcoming season. And we're going to put into spotlight Josh Primo. Look, we all know that he is going to be given a lot more looks on the court, a lot more minutes. Maybe some more plays calls for him in the next season. This isn't a rebuild. But with that, what does he need to work on? What do we want to see him improve upon heading into the new season? And then we're going to dive into some, I don't know, some craziness that, yeah, I know, Gilbert Arenas and craziness. Yeah, that should go together. But he really took it to a new level when he had some thoughts about Manu Ginobili. A guy who never has crazy thoughts, a guy who probably would have just laughed in Arenas' face. He needs no introduction. He is Rudy Campos. He is with Sweep the League. Rudy, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And hey, you got a lot of love in the last time you were here.
Yeah, a lot of jersey love from the last time. Like the color scheme that we talked about seemed to have been very, very popular.
Yeah. You're always been a kind of a jersey guy, right? It doesn't have to be Spurs, just jerseys overall.
Yeah, I love the jerseys, mainly old school jerseys. So you would find me rocking, you know, collegiate jerseys and also older NBA player jerseys. But yeah, I'm a jersey guy. I love jerseys.
What's your jersey collection like? Like, what do you got?
Oh, okay. So Spurs wise, I've got the custom Silas that I had from the Spurs this past year. Duncan, Ginobili, Robinson. Outside of that, I've got a Pistol P. Maravich Hawks jersey. I've got a Drazen Petrovic jersey, which is my absolute favorite. I've got an old Dan Marino jersey. I've just got a ton of jerseys, both baseball, basketball, and football. So yeah, it's a lot, and it's growing. I've got a few more coming in today.
Yeah, I appreciate jerseys. I love the look of it, but I've never been like a collector of jerseys. I can appreciate sneakers, but I never was a sneaker guy that has this closet full of sneakers, like from the Jordans or you know, the old school Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Converse, you know, even the was it a James Worthy? He was with Team New Balance, like back in the day. So I never really been that type of. Now, you know, when I collect other stuff, like my nerd stuff, like Marvel and DC stuff, sure, but I never got into the jersey thing. But again, I definitely appreciate it. But I gotta ask you though, Rudy. Mm-hmm. Is a Josh Primo jersey on the way to your collection?
Ooh, I'm going to say, I hate to be, you know, a dickhead on Locked On Spurs, but I'm not going to get a Primo jersey, and probably nowhere in the future am I going to get a Primo jersey.
Wow. Well, we're going to dive into Josh Primo right now, but we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day, free and available wherever you get podcasts. Hopefully, Primo, you're covering your ears right now. That our guest isn't getting your jersey. I have a Primo jersey. It was gifted to me by the Spurs, part of their Spurs / self promotion. But yeah, I think that's my latest jersey. So it kind of goes hand in hand now. Let's talk about Josh Primo. Look, Rudy, he is going to be looked upon as part of a key piece. I want to say franchise cornerstone, just a key piece, because the jury's still out on him moving forward. And he'll likely get a lot of burn. Unfortunately, he played a game and a half-ish in the summer league, then got shut down because of health and safety. But nevertheless, before we get into specific numbers and specifics, what are you expecting out of the young man heading into his second season?
So expectation-wise for me, and again, this is only for me, I know on a fan's perspective, they're expecting Primo to be this all-around player and everything. But for me, I really have pumped the brakes a lot, especially in this offseason with Primo. I'm really not expecting a lot. I'm probably expecting to improve a little bit on, you know, his shooting, maybe, you know, learn the NBA, learn the what I'm trying to say is the play, but you know how fast the play is in the NBA compared to like G League. He's got a lot of improvement to do. I mean, we're talking, I would say if you're looking at 100% on an NBA player, I really only have him 20 to 25% ready, NBA ready. I don't think he's going to be making these leaps and bounds. I mean, we're going to get into numbers here in a little bit, but expectation for me is super low going into the next season for Primo.
Yeah, I am hopeful. I'm not expecting a lot. I'm not expecting him to make a DeJounte Murray type of leap. That I'm not expecting. You know, all-star and triple-double. No way. He's nowhere near that. You know, we saw in the little bit that he played in the summer league, he's still a little turnover prone. Mm-hmm. And dare I say hot and cold? He goes with these really hot streaks, you know, he's just lighting it up. We saw that in the summer league. We saw that last season, and then he'll get cold. I mean, he hit the rookie wall bad last year. I mean, he just slammed right into it. So again, it's those flashes of brilliance. Case in point, the summer league wasn't that. What was it? Game one that he played, was quiet for what, three periods, and the fourth period just took over and scored a hell of a lot of points in a few minutes. So we see that from him. So the potential is there. He just needs to sustain it. But at 19 years old, look, Brian Wright flat out said it when they selected him back in the day, a couple of seasons ago, saying, no, he's going to be in his own timeline. He's on his own path. He'll develop when he's ready, and we're going to not rush him. But with this being a rebuild, is that still a key, not rushing him, Rudy? Or should the Spurs kind of light a fire in him, saying, hey, you know, we got to get this going, Josh? Or maybe it's just too soon for that for him.
But, you know, considering everything that's taken place so far in the offseason, it's pretty safe to say that a rebuild is upon us. And if you're going to go full rebuild, you've got to allow players like Josh Primo to make mistakes and to come in and learn the hard way. It's kind of like in the NFL when you draft a quarterback, you sometimes have to just throw him in the fire, let him make the mistakes, have a horrible year. For example, Peyton Manning had more interceptions than touchdowns his rookie year. He looked like it was a bust of a pick. But look how he works through it. Now he's considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So same thing with Josh Primo. If you're going to allow him, if you're going to go into rebuild, you need to allow him to just come in, make mistakes. If you're going to allow him to be a scorer, let him be a scorer. He's going to have a lot of turnovers. But again, it comes back to coaching staff. I mean, Pop has never really allowed a player to come in and just take over outside of maybe Tony Parker. But even then, it was 10 games into a season before Pop allowed that to happen. I would say for going into the season, definitely you've got to allow him just to come in and just play his game. If you are in true rebuild, you're not going to kill his confidence. In fact, I think it actually will build his confidence seeing that he's still 19 years old.
Yeah, he's still just a kid, and a lot more is to be expected out of him. We're not done talking about Josh Primo. When we get back, a little bit more of general thoughts and get into some numbers, and we still got to figure out what in the world was Gilbert Arenas smoking when he made some comments about Manu Ginobili. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your sports betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf. I tried my hand at some betting. I went to Bet Online over the weekend for the Nunez Pena fight. So yeah, that's how easy it was. I got in, placed my bet, easy, 1, 2, 3, done. It continues to be the top online resource for your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to the website today. That's Bet Online. Use your mobile device. You get on your laptop. Get on your computer. Learn more about the action happening today. Bet Online, where the game starts. We're back with Rudy Campos. He's with Sweep the League. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Sweep the League, where I heard that one-on-one he can handle Sabretooth from the X-Men. Is that true?
That is very true. I have no problem handling Sabretooth. And just recently I conquered the Blob, so I'm on a great winning streak right now.
Ooh-wee, good for you. Hopefully you'll keep that winning streak, because up next I hear is Magneto. So you get the boss level.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to get the streak come to an end there.
All right. We're continuing our chat about Josh Primo and what are we expecting from him in season number two for him. Areas of improvement, if you will. You know, a few more general observations. We're going to get into some numbers here. How big is a loss of Chip England not being able to get Primo, at least under his wing, a little bit more? Everybody knows he is the shot doctor, longtime Spurs assistant coach, no longer with the team. He is seen as the man when it comes to correcting shooting of NBA players from Tony Parker, Kawhi, Kelvin Johnson. How big of a loss is that for Josh Primo's development?
It's an extremely huge loss. It's a loss that as a San Antonio Spurs front office, you never wanted to do. This guy should have had a lifetime contract with the San Antonio Spurs. Whatever he wanted, he should have been able to get. It's massive because you're talking about Primo, who's still developing, who's not even developed halfway, in my opinion, for an NBA player. And you've got to have a guy that's in here developing, working off his shot. I mean, shooting percentage wise, I mean, he's barely shooting 30, maybe 40%, I guess, on an average. It's good, but it's not great. He could be a lot better, especially for a scoring guard that Primo has a potential to be. The loss of Chip England, it affects Primo tremendously, including the rookies coming in. I mean, you got guys that are coming in that aren't great shooters, and you were counting on Chip to really work with them. Now you don't have that.
Yeah, I think that was a big loss, not just for Josh, but, you know, from Jeremy Sohan to Blake Wesley, even Devin Vassell. You know, who knows, Kelvin Johnson, maybe, you know, could have used a little bit more tutelage under him. But, yeah, big loss for Josh Primo. Let's go to look at some numbers now. Last season with San Antonio, you know, obviously had career highs in set better numbers because he was not in the G League as often. You know, 5.6 points per game, 2.3 rebounds, 1.6 assists. He grabbed 20 steals and played in 51 games for San Antonio. Actually started 17, Rudy. Took 137 three-point shots, made 42. It's about 31% right there. All right, so we go to some of the numbers, you know, more than just the career stats so far for him. Where do you want him to see his uptick?
So definitely he needs to improve his shooting both from the three-point line and around the perimeter as well. Huge factor for me. He's got to improve that shot. He's got to be able to score. Not only that, he's got to be able to finish around the basket with contact. He's got to get to the free throw line a lot more than what he's capable of. Yeah. I mean, he's capable of doing a lot, but he's got to get to the free throw line a lot more. What I really liked about him, though, was he really did keep his turnovers low in the NBA. He had a lot of games where he didn't turn the ball over. He was still getting 20 minutes a game, you know, during that time. Even during that time frame, he just turned the ball once, maybe twice. So turnovers were pretty low for him in the actual NBA, the big boy roster. But it's got to be the consistency. I mean, you were talking about a guy who got 26 minutes a game at the end of the regular season, 25 minutes in, I believe, in March a game. So he was getting a lot of playing time towards the end of the year. You saw good improvement. You saw his numbers kind of rising right there. He did show potential, but the whole thing is the whole spot in between his ears, the brain. He's got to get mentally ready. He's got to finish around the basket. He's going to be a scorer. He's got to have that scorer mentality. Honestly, right now, they're in limbo. I have no idea where you're playing Josh. Are you going to play him at the point? Are you going to play him at the two? Without any of that being known, it is so difficult to figure out what his role with the Spurs is going to be.
Yeah, it's a good point. The point guard is, well, it's an open question right now. Is it going to be Primo? Is it going to be Trey Jones? Could it be Wesley? Could it be somebody else? Langford? Could it be just anybody? Positionless basketball. Okay, Devin, you're it. That's the Spurs point right now. Look, it's a good problem to have. You know, you got a promising, at least right now, second-year guy, Primo. You definitely have something with Blake Wesley, as we saw out in the summer league. And Trey Jones is shown to be a steady hand. But, you're looking at some of Primo's numbers now. He did show steady improvement throughout the season. Let's pick it up last season in February, played 10 games, averaged 5.4 points per game in March, averaged 6.6. And then in the final month, seven games in April, 7.9. pattern here. He's given minutes. He went from 19 minutes per game in February to 24.5, 25 in April. With time, as everything, you know, you get better numbers. Now, you're mentioning the free throw attempts. He only averaged two. That's it. Two free throw attempts in the month of April. Let me make that very clear. In the month of April. So even then, that was it. Just in 1 month. And you need to see him increase that. And I agree with you. I think he needs to become a lot more aggressive going to the rim. Now, I appreciate him looking for his teammates, as we saw in game one of the summer league. But Rudy, I would like to him to try to call his own number a little bit more often.
Yeah, they're not going to. And the thing is like, I get that he's 19 and he's young and he feels like he has to cater to the veterans. But if you're in summer league, that's your time. The Spurs want to see what you can do. So they want you to be aggressive, I'm pretty sure, in the summer league, which he did. He was very aggressive in that fourth quarter in that first game. But even in the NBA, you know, when you're playing with the big guys, I understand, you know, DeJounte's, you know, the star. You've got Keldon now. You've got Devin, who's really, really improving over this offseason. You've got guys that are going to be the man. Now, you've got to insert yourself as well. No, the pop's not going to kill you for trying to be, you know, trying to insert yourself and trying to be more aggressive. If you got it, he's a slasher. He can be a good scorer at this level, but he's got to get to the basket. Now, if you get to the basket and get to the line, that's already an improvement. I don't care if you finish around the basket, that'll come in time, but you got to get to the line. There's a reason why it's free throws. It's free shots. I mean, it's free points. If you're able to get to the basket with his speed, and he's not a thin guy. He's actually a lot bulkier than people give him credit for. He can get to the rim at hand, and that's the thing. He's got to get to the line. It's so important. But real quick on Primo, I'm going to say it on Locked On Spurs. I haven't said it anywhere else, not even on Sweep the League. But don't be surprised if Blake Wesley jumps Josh Primo during the season.
Wow. Hot take there. What do you see? Well, why do you think that? Just because of Wesley's aggressiveness?
I had so much low expectations on Wesley because I coming out of Notre Dame, the shot wasn't there. He was playing like a loose cannon. He just had to stay more controlled. Watching him over the summer and even talking to some former NBA players that when we were watching him, we all saw the same thing. That control was better handled. He was able to get to the basket. He created his own bucket. His jump shot had improved from his days at Notre Dame. It just seemed like Blake kind of turned the switch on and knew exactly what to do. And it got a lot of people, including myself, thinking that you're probably seeing a guy who's going to take that next step for the silver and black. If he's not in Austin, that's the problem. Is we're hoping he's not in Austin. But as far as the outlook goes, Wesley's got a bigger outlook than Primo does right now, according to some people.
Yeesh. Well, we'll definitely see that. Hey, look, if anything, it adds for competitive training camp preseason. Love to see that. Hey, competition brings out the best in everybody. Hopefully that'll do the same for Josh Primo. A couple other things about Primo, what room for improvement is, how important is that 3-point shot for him to fall? For him, not only for him, for the team, though. Last season, whenever he shot 34% or more from the 3-point line, the Spurs went 10-6. So, yeah, it needs to fall. It definitely needs to fall. And now look, he did hit that rookie wall. I mean, he just smacked right into it. I mean, it was just no joke. We all saw it. But hey, that's for every rookie. But look, finished the season, you know, at Minnesota, April 7th, 12 points, 14 points against the Warriors in a loss, 32 minutes he played in that game. And then the final game of the season, 4 points against Dallas, and then didn't do anything in the play-in game. But there's potential is there. We can see it. He's physically grown. He's gotten thicker. He's gotten taller. You look at some photos from over the offseason. He's definitely grew. I mean, is he eye to eye with Pirtle? I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, that's how much he's grown. He's sprouted. So, yeah. Oh, I know you just said something about Wesley right now, but do you expect Primo to start or come off the bench next season?
I've got Trey Jones as the starting point guard, and I still do going into the offseason camp, training camp for the San Antonio Spurs. ultimately, I do expect Primo to be a starter. I don't see Blake Wesley coming in and starting right away. In fact, I see Blake kind of starting in Austin. I still have some things to work on, but I still think Primo is going to be a starter eventually, whether it be alongside Trey Jones or maybe Primo and Vassell take over the backcourt. Primo should still be a starter regardless, but it's just going to matter. It's going to come down to you've got the position. You're a starter now. You've got to earn to keep it. And that's, you know, that's going to be the mentality. So I think we can see a major uptick in Primo. Maybe his game is going to go to the next level. But, you know, again, being that it's a rookie, you know, he's still got the rookie, you know, wall coming in. I mean, it's like you saw enough, but you didn't get enough. So it's kind of hard to be excited to get that extra motivation going into the season. Like, I think he's going to just break out. We didn't see him, you know, like a Keldon jump in the Olympics type thing, or how Keldon improved in this. DeJounte's kind of, you know, improvement. Same with Devin. I think we're going to see a slower pace improvement from Primo. But, hey, I hope he proves me wrong.
Absolutely. So, yeah, in sum, I think perimeter shooting needs to improve for Primo, three line and inside. Attack more. Get to the free throw line more. Play with some control. You know, you're right. He did maintain turnovers, kept them low in San Antonio, but in Austin, he was just nuts. But I think that just had to be pointing to the fact that he was allowed to experiment and try things. So I think that's probably a big reason why he had a high turnover rate in Austin. But you there's something there. And if the Spurs can continue grooming that next season, I think that'd be great. And again, keep in mind, he's just a teenager, like pretty much a lot of these Spurs guys, especially the three new ones that came in. So they're still young, and he is one of them. But what are your thoughts about Josh Primo? You can let Rudy know on Twitter at Sweep the League. Let me know on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. What areas of improvement you want him to see? Is it rebounding? We didn't even touch about that. You know, you want to see him improve his boards. Should he just, you know, do what Brian Rice said, me take his own pace? You know, if he makes a leap, not this year, but next year, you know, that's his street. Let us know. When we get back, we're going to be diving into Gilbert Arenas and some wacky, I mean, just wacky out of the, just forget about it, is bad, thoughts and takes on Spurs legend. Yes, basketball Hall of Famer to be Manu Ginobili. We're back with Rudy Campos right here on Locked On Spurs. And yeah. Thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Now, in case you've missed it, former NBA guard, journeyman, played with the Wizards and the Warriors. I mean, pick a team. He played with a lot of teams, but Gilbert Arenas, never shy, always one to speak his mind. And allegedly, you know, factually, I guess, bring guns to a locker room. But nevertheless,
shoots a
had
shot.
Some, yeah, he took a shot. Has some things to say about Manu Ginobili recently in an interview with FUBU Sports. And he was asked about six men and Jamal Crawford and Manu Ginobili, kind of comparing the two. And, you know, who individually was the better six man slash player. And now, look, to be fair, Rudy, Arenas did compliment Manu, said that Manu was great. That, you know, he wasn't totally bagging him. But
as a sixth man of the year, Jamal Crawford has one thing on Manu. He's a three-time NBA sixth man of the year, while Manu is just a one-time sixth man player of the year. Overall, better player, Gilbert Arenas has been smoking the absolute greatest Colombian stuff, because there is no way as a player that Jamal Crawford is better than Manu Ginobili. Manu Ginobili is a starter on 29 other teams outside of the San Antonio Spurs, and he only gave up his starting spot because Pop asked him to come off the bench, and it was just something that he just gladly did. You're talking about a guy with a career average of 13.3 points a game for Manu Ginobili to Jamal's like 14.2. What's the difference in that? Nothing. I mean, there's literally no difference in that. Jamal Crawford had the green light to shoot when he was playing for any team he wanted, which so happened to be like 15 teams or whatever. Manu Ginobili was a true team player. So for Gilbert Arenas to come out and say that Jamal Crawford is a better player than Manu Ginobili and give him all the credit in the world, I will say he was either drunk or he was higher than the absolute height. Because there is no way you can prove that at any level. And if you want to talk about individual players as well, Manu Ginobili did more for the San Antonio Spurs when it came to championships, and Jamal Crawford didn't even sniff an NBA title at all. So, but then again, look at the guy you're talking about, Gilbert Arenas. I mean, yeah, all-star player, you know, agent double A or agent zero. I mean, he was a good player for his time, but I mean, again, you've got to keep yourself relevant. So just like Big Shot Bob and Steven Jackson, to keep yourself relevant, even, you know, Kendrick Perkins, you've got to say something crazy so that way people can talk about you, which I'm planning to do sometime soon as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, individually, Manu was just a better player. I mean, he facilitated better than Arenas. He understood the team concept better. The sacrifice he'd made. Not saying that Crawford, wasn't a team player, but Crawford was a gunner. Crawford was a gunner. Manu did a little bit of everything. Crawford wasn't really known for, defense. Manu could play a little defense. I mean, ask Kevin Garnett. Ask a lot of the players that he picked up charges on, even though many poked fun of him saying he flopped. But, I mean, he still got it done on the defensive end. And longevity. You know, Manu had a long career. I think longevity, did Crawford play longer than Manu?
He had a 20-year career.
20-year career. Manu had, what, a 16?
I think it was 16. I got it right here.
Yeah, yeah. I think Crawford played longer. But the point is that Manu was still effective, you know, even in his later season, his later career. I just think that, you know, Arenas is definitely smoking the good stuff. You know, you put pen to paper, and if you can't tell me that if you're building a team and some of the names out there on the roster you could potentially draft is Manu or Crawford. Look, if you were to pick Crawford, I wouldn't hate you, you know, but I'd be smiling that you left Manu Ginobili on the board. Yeah, and I'll definitely take him because he could definitely do a lot more than Crawford did. So, Arenas, you might want to go back and look at the videotape when you try to say that individually Crawford was better than Manu. I don't know. He's out of control right now. We're done talking. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts about Arenas? You know, I mean, were you flipping tables like all over, like Rudy? Well, Rudy was probably just laughing his, you know what, off when he saw the video. You can let Rudy know on Twitter at Sweep the League and tell us about Sweep the League, Rudy.
Yeah, Sweep the League. Every single Wednesday night, we record and release our episode. It's the off season, like you said, for Spurs, but we're talking some NFL, and we also do our Sweep or Keep segment. If you want to join in, we usually shoot it on Twitter and Facebook. Leave a comment. You can win some Sweep the League merch and gift cards to a couple of places local. But real quick, I got a minute, Jeff. I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan series, did that overtake Rogue One as the king of Star Wars?
No, it's close, but no. And I separate the two. Rogue One is still movies. I still think movie wise and theater wise, Rogue One is still the greatest. I know a lot of people think I'm crazy because of Empire, but if you really break it down, look at what Rogue One did TV wise or streaming services wise. It really vaulted over. It's squeaking by the Mando series right now.
Yeah.
Because of what it did to build the myth of Vader. We find, you know, Rogue One gave us, you know, Vader in beast mode. Obi-Wan Kenobi series gave us Vader in times two, Vader beast mode. I was shocked when they Disney allowed Vader to snap kids' necks and show it. I was shocked when they showed. technically, Vader was still human before he got the mechanical parts. We finally got to see the slaughter that he did in the Jedi Temple. It's close, man. It's close. I mean, what still pushes Mando for me is the bringing back Luke Skywalker, giving us a little bit more glimpse to his story after Return of the Jedi. Still. You know, seeing him become the trainer, you know, it was great. You know, the connective tissue between that and the cartoon series with Ahsoka coming back. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's close, man. It's close. They're neck and neck right now, Obi-Wan and Mando. But Movie wise and theater wise, I still got Rogue One as number one. I mean, I didn't get past it up. And I really believe the Andor series is going to beef up that argument. Ooh, that yeah. Rogue One is still the greatest. Because I think it's not a TV series. It's a three-part series, and that's it. So it's practically a movie. They're just breaking it up in three parts for the Andor series. And we'll see. We'll see. I'm done with my nerd soapbox here. You want to subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. Now on YouTube, the Ken's 5 Plus app, and on the Ken's 5 YouTube page. Some technical issues going on right now, but over there at the Ken's 5 YouTube page. So I think they're trying to sort things out, but it will be there. And yes, hopefully we'll get another one in this week. No promises. The Locked On, just overall, really the Locked On NBA network segment, the portion of the network, where all of us are on hiatus right now. And we're kind of, you know, just to chill out before it ramps up again. So figured I'd touch base with my man, Rudy Campos, this week. See how he's doing. Give us his thoughts on Josh Primo and Gilbert Arenas. Oh, good Lord. I don't know what's wrong with that kid. But yeah. And we thank you again for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. So for Rudy Campos, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.